This has been Larry Wilson. I want to thank you for spending this time with me, and I hope you found this information useful. If you're looking for more, you can find it at thewilsonmethod.com. There's a ton of stuff there. In fact, if you want, you can even speak to me because I'm human. Send me an email at info@wilsonmethod.com because I read every single one. I hope that you'll join us next week in this continuing journey, and you'll be with me for the next episode of How to Talk to Humans. Hi, this is Larry Wilson. Thanks for joining me once again for another episode of How to Talk to Humans. I want to talk this week about matters particularly that pertain to business and how vitally important your communication skills are to your success, because we're supposed to be trying to communicate towards success. That's what this podcast is really based on. And where I'm also going to reveal some closely held secrets. They aren't as closely held secrets about communication, although they may surprise some of you, but they're also about some magical things that people think, oh, I didn't know that's how that worked. But you'll see very quickly the synergy, how these two seemingly disparate topics actually overlap. In many ways, I was talking again with my producer, Igor, here, and we were talking about certain skills that people have as pertains to sales, and why it is so odd. Sometimes you'll see a salesperson, it could be for anything, it could be for a small item or large item, and they feel they must keep talking. And their goal, I think, and I suspect what they're thinking is, I'm going to be able to talk someone into making a sale. If they did, it would be the first time in human history it has ever taken place. I say this from the expert vantage point of being a professional magician, because magicians take advantage of certain psychological traits that we all share to influence people in their decisions. So a magician might be able to talk you into something. There's a reason the term con man is actually a shortened version of the word confidence man. And there's a reason for this, that magicians and con men and people of this ilk know that you can talk people into things, but in terms of real and legitimate business, talking people into a sale, I don't know if it's ever happened. The way the professional con artist works is they build a sense of trust with them, but it's completely artificial. It's not genuine. They hopefully, and often it depends on them appealing to a sense of greed or perhaps dishonesty on the part of the recipient. It's a way to get rich quick, or a way to cut corners, or leapfrog over someone else, that sometimes appeals to somebody who's feeling frustrated or feeling overwhelmed. Maybe they're feeling desperate. But you can't build a solid relationship on a faulty or false foundation. But of course, the con man isn't really depending on this to be a substantial relationship. They just want to make it far enough to make their sale. Well, obviously, this is not what you want to be doing. I frequently talk in Wilson Method about the three C's. And I pick those because it's a way for you to be able to remember what I'm talking about. I want you to be able to connect, convey, and create. I want you to be able to connect with people before you've spoken a word. And this is referring, of course, to semiotics and nonverbal communication, which we will address later, so that you can convey your message, whatever that may be, and then create authentic bonds that last a lifetime. Successful communication creates those kinds of authentic bonds. I can't begin to tell you how many assignments, engagements, contracts, jobs I've received from people I've been doing business with for decades, because they know that things I tell them, things I share with them, interactions I've had are genuine. And I know that my producer always wants me to boast about myself, and some of this is harder for me to do, but I can say this. I'm still surprised, but people will come back to me 10 years, 20 years after I've worked with them or interacted with them to hire me again and again and again. There's a major, I don't want to use their name because I didn't really ask permission to do this, but there's a major software company that's based out of Silicon Valley that has used me for events they're doing now 3 times in the last 4 or 5 months. I know they keep coming back to me because, of course, they're very pleased with the result they get with me. But part of that is that they know when they reach out to me, they have a sense of who I really am. And that's a direct result of my communication skills. They know they can ask me anything. They know there's no barrier between us achieving the goals that we both are trying to achieve. And there's no reason that we both can't have that. As a performer, my goal is to delight an audience so that they have an experience they may not have even realized was possible, that it makes them think things and feel things and experience things that it's like Christmas morning. It's like something, it's eye-opening, it's mind-blowing. That's part of the reason I love magic so much, is that you're creating the illusion of this world where anything is possible. And that's such a splendid feeling and such a uplifting experience. It just feels really great. Now, I also want to be doing this while being compensated in line with what I feel I'm worth. No one can ever pay me as much as I really think I'm worth because I think so highly of myself. But the client, in this case, this software company, they want to invite, the way they've been using me frequently is they'll invite people they're doing business with and sometimes future prospects they'd like to do business with into a social setting. And usually they're small groups, anywhere from 40 to 60 people. And
people will be having maybe small food, appetizers, things and drinks, and I'm sort of circulating amongst them, amusing and entertaining them. And I know the reason this company keeps coming back to me, and I can't urge this enough to those of you who are involved in sales, because I know there's people in sales who think sometimes, oh, all that matters is price. That has not been my experience. My experience has been that if you, I back up, I should say, of course there are people in this life who are only concerned with price. Those are not the people that you should be seeking out as your clientele. Those are the people who are only concerned with the very cheapest, and they will always get what they're looking for. The very cheapest doesn't mean it's good. Doesn't mean it's going to last. Doesn't mean the person who is exposed or utilizes their product is going to be pleased. It just means it's the cheapest. It's a big, big, wiggly world, and there's room for all kinds of people here. But those people are not the ones you want to be wasting your time and energy on. There's a whole world, and this is hard for some people to accept, but I'm the living proof of this. There's my personal experience. Yes, been on television hundreds of times, nominated for an Emmy Award, voted Comedy Magician of the Year, received all sorts of accolades. But I'm here to tell you there are lots of magicians much, much better than I am. But they do not command the fees I do, and they do not work as regularly as I do. So it's not really a function of how good a magician you are. It's a function of your communication skills. And part of that has to do with what you bring to your interactions with people. If you believe that the only thing that matters is price, your punishment for believing that will be that you're right. That you will be trapped in that paradigm where the only thing that matters is price. I've known some lovely people who I've seen trapped in that. When I was younger, I would try to help them. And I found that I was rebuffed frequently. I didn't understand at the time. I was essentially challenging their real world view. And I don't begrudge them that. I wish them well. But I learned from a woman many years ago, a very, very special woman, who, I can't remember how this topic came up, but she said, when people ask me for help, I won't do anything till they've asked me 3 times. And I said, why is that? She said, because a lot of times I found out they don't really want help. They either want me to say, oh, you don't need any help. Or they want me to say, oh, what you're doing right now is perfect. This thing that isn't working at all, it's perfect. Keep doing it. And she said, I don't want any part of that. She said, if they ask me 3 separate times, then I think they're serious. They really need help, and I'm happy to do with it. This in itself is an incredible communications tip for you right there if you're involved in sales. Clearly, we want to be successful and make sales, but you will be so much more successful if you're building authentic connections with people. Because maybe you'll only make a small sale. Maybe you won't even make the sale yet. But down the line, they'll contact you because they genuinely feel a connection and they feel they can trust you. Frequently, people reach out to me who want to hire me, and I'll find out they don't have the money to be able to afford me. So instead of saying, "Get off my phone, you're wasting my time," I'll say to them, "Well, maybe I can find someone for you who will be in that price range." This happened to me just recently with someone. And they said, "Well, what would that cost us?" I said, "Nothing. I'm just trying to help you." That woman, a month later, came back to me and said, "I talked to our people and we've been able to increase our budget," and they wound up hiring me. It wasn't a trick. It wasn't me trying to use Jedi mind stunts on someone. It was me genuinely building an authentic connection with them so that they felt like they could trust me because I wasn't going to get anything out of it. All I was going to do is try to help them find what they could afford. Obviously, of course, what we really want to do, we want to find potential clients for you where money is not their primary concern. I'm sure most clients, at some point, they'll be concerned about what things cost, but their primary concern will be, what am I really getting if I make this business transaction with you? And that doesn't just mean the product or service. It means the result of that product or service. I mentioned this software company. They don't just want me to amuse and titillate their clients so that later on everyone goes, "Oh, that was the most amusing evening." I just did a show for them, an event in New York City. And one of their executives, who I didn't know but I met, a man named Carlos, who's from Houston, came up to me afterwards and he was so impressed. He said, "What you do here," he said, "I'm not sure everyone understands what you're really doing." I said, "Oh?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "There's a lot of people here and they don't all know each other." He said, "But when you do something right in front of them, inches away from them, that is mind-blowing, then they all have a shared experience." I said, "Well, I can see now why you're one of the executives, because you're a very observant fellow." I said, "That's exactly right. That's what I'm aiming for. I don't stay there all night. I might just do something quickly and I drift away. But they have this experience that's bonding them together. That's what the result of my performance is." So when you're involved in sales, I understand there may be a certain sense of urgency. A good friend of mine, a guy who's also in entertainment, but also involved in communications, a guy named Barry Friedman, shared with me recently, like in the last year, he was talking about when dealing with potential clients and making proposals to people and stuff. He said, "I use the mantra determined and detached." And I thought, wow, that's so great. Determined and detached. Because he's not going to try and force anything on. He's not going to keep talking, "I'm going to fast talk you into buying this car." That's just not going to happen. But in general, that's no business strategy. to be trying to con people. That's not a real legitimate strategy. But what Barry was talking about is determined, you're focused, you have a plan, you have specific things you're going to do, but you do not attach yourself emotionally to the outcome because it might not be the right person. This might not be the right connection. What we're hoping to find are those people who resonate with your message, because now you have something to build on. And I promised before I was going to reveal some secrets of professional magicians. I've talked on a number of these episodes and in the two-day boot camp training I do for Wilson Method about active listening and the importance of it. And I've seen up close, personal, in my real life, I've seen superstars using this to extraordinary advantage. I've seen them do things that are just, you know, mind-boggling, and it's because of active listening. And, of course, what made me think of is there's a big interest, I guess, some people in psychics and palm readers and I don't know what other names they give themselves, mediums and stuff. Well, the thing about all those people is that they listen to what the people who've come to them to have their fortunes told say. And then the medium does a very funny thing. They just repeat back what they heard. And the result is always that the person who's come to have their fortune told goes, "That's incredible. How did you know that?" "Well, how did you know that? You just said it." But of course, they don't say that because that sort of blows the whole gig. But in the world of magic, we frequently use these same techniques, but we use them, I think, of course, very ethically. I had a dear friend who's no longer with us, who did his act was as a mind reader. His name was Glenn Falkenstein, and he was fantastic, did an incredible, just incredible performance. And he was a very, very sweet guy. And he did stuff on stage that was so mind-boggling that people, of course, were left with the impression he could really read minds. Well, he couldn't really read minds. If he could really read minds, he'd be doing all sorts of illegal, illicit activity and be a multi-gazillionaire. No, he's an entertainer. He's creating that illusion. And, of course, he was so good at it that, of course, you couldn't help but think that. But Glenn would always end his performance with this disclaimer that I just thought was so wonderful. He'd say, "I do not foster a belief in spiritualism or the occult." And I thought it was great because he was just saying, "I don't have real magic powers." But he was saying it in a way that people who wanted to believe he still had magic powers could still believe. They'd say, "Oh, he's saying he does not foster a belief in spiritualism or the occult." But I love that so much. I miss him. But I say this because those of you who are involved in sales, and some of you may be involved in sales and not even realize it, if you're specifically, I mentioned before, the idea of someone who's a car salesman, well, that's obvious sales. But you may be involved in selling your ideas to other people in your organization. It's still sales. It's still the same thing. You can accomplish so much more if you listen when people start to talk to you. Sometimes you may need to initiate the conversation. You may need to say, I don't really know what it is you want, or I'm not sure I'm the right person you should be talking to. But if they start to say to you, well, actually, I was looking for you because then it's time for you. I'd like you to take a writing instrument and something to write on right now and write the word silent, S-I-L-E-N-T. Once we're finished with this podcast, you can make an anagram of that word and rearrange the letters to see if it spells another word. I know for a fact there's some of you listening to this already who are able to do that anagram in your head right now. Full marks. Give yourself a gold star. I couldn't do it. But for the rest of you, you may find it amusing. Take that word silent, where you're not talking. Rearrange those letters. Because this is a powerful, semiotic, non-verbal technique that separates the amateurs from the experts. I'm hoping that you'll join me again next week for another episode of How to Talk to Humans. This is Larry Wilson. I look forward to seeing you then.
This has been Larry Wilson. I want to thank you for spending this time with me, and I hope you found this information useful. If you're looking for more, you can find it at thewilsonmethod.com. There's a ton of stuff there. In fact, if you want, you can even speak to me because I'm human. Send me an email at info@wilsonmethod.com because I read every single one. I hope that you'll join us next week in this continuing journey, and you'll be with me for the next episode of How to Talk to Humans.